Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome back. T-minus 3 days and 4 hours, 5 hours until Donald Trump gets put back in office. And boy, tell you what did Biden do yesterday? Went out and gave 2,500 people sentence commutations. Another 2,500 of them. He's handed these out at historic rates. It is the broadest commutation of individual sentences ever issued by a U.S. president. How much more damage will this guy do to the system before he's gone? It's like the slow goodbye. I don't know. Obviously, the 20-year-olds who are running the White House have a to-do list that they're checking off boxes before this thing is over with. Glad you're back with us. Sue's been keeping you up to date on some of the traffic problems, including that horrible accident there on 4064 headed westbound just after you cross the bridge downtown. And hopefully that's getting cleared up at this hour. It was a fatality. Maybe multiple fatalities. Did we say Kim?
I know Sue's been saying fatal, but I'm not quite sure if multiple people two cars were definitely involved.
It looked bad. Happened sometime after 2 o'clock this morning when we came through that area after four. It was still a mess and the highway was completely shut down. So just plan accordingly. If that is still snarling traffic, Sue will keep you up to date on that in just a few minutes. JJ Carafano coming up. They are apparently the Security Council in Israel has recommended approving this ceasefire deal. And we're going to get more details on that coming up here in just a few minutes from Jim Carafano. He will join us here from Heritage because he's obviously one of the best at that. And I want to know what his honest opinion is on whether it's a good deal or not for the state of Israel and who gets credit for it, because that does matter. Because I don't think it would have happened if Donald Trump wasn't about to be sworn in. Also, Victor Avila joins us. He's a special agent retired from the ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. We're going to talk about a lawsuit that's pending against a county for cooperation with ICE. So we'll get to that for you still ahead. Right now, I want to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Joe clearly doesn't get it. There's also something that makes all criticism pointless. He's blissfully ignorant of the past 4 years.
Yeah. Greg Gutfeld was lighting him up yesterday. We got plenty of sound from him this morning as Joe Biden heads not quickly enough for the exit door.
But we want to also be clear. We don't want to be Americans. We don't want to be a part of U.S.
Guy sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger. That's the Greenland Prime Minister. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Agede? I don't know. Mute? Agede? Anyway, he makes it pretty clear he doesn't want to be an American.
When you have three people owning more wealth than the bottom half of American society, when these people have enormous influence over the media, What Biden said last night is we're moving toward an oligarchy.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders got his winter hat and gloves handed to him by Scott Bessent, who is the nominee there for Interior Secretary. I mean, he owned, or for Energy Secretary, he owned Bernie Sanders yesterday.
There's a big effort in the Trump administration to reverse it. I think that's going to be bad for the economy, but it is going to be damn good for China because we are in an arms race on clean energy. With
that was Senator Ron Wyden. You know, I hate to keep bringing this up, but these nominations are not going, these hearings are not going well for Democrats because they keep going back to the same talking points on energy, like Bernie Sanders talking with Scott Bessent there. Whatever they're trying is not working. They're hoping for some sort of Kavanaugh moment with these people, but it's not working for them at all. And Bessent is the one who has been probably one of the most interesting ones in these conversations because the Democrats want to hate him, but they can't. And you know why they can't, Kim? You know who was in the confirmation hearing with him? His husband.
Oh.
And his two young sons who were seated right behind him in this hearing. So the Democrats don't want to go too rough on him because they can't they're in a pickle here. Donald Trump is horrible. He's Hitler. But he's nominated multiple women to top cabinet appointments and an openly gay man now for Treasury Secretary in Scott Bessent. Listen to him take down Bernie Sanders here, which I thought was pretty interesting, talking about the oligarch thing. Go to cut nine, please.
The three billionaires who you listed that all made the money themselves. That Mr. Musk came to the country as an immigrant.
I understand that. But what I'm asking you is when you have a handful of people like Musk, who will soon be part of the Trump administration, and others, when you have three people owning more wealth than the bottom half of American society, when these people have enormous influence over the media, when they spend huge amounts of money in both political parties to elect candidates, what Biden said last night is we're moving toward an oligarchy. I'm asking you that question. Do you think, forget how they made their money, do you think that when so few people have so much wealth and so much economic and political power that that is an oligarchic form of society?
Well, I would note that President Biden gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom to two people who I think would qualify for his oligarchs.
Yeah.
Yeah, George Soros.
You think? No kidding. And what Bessent looks at me goes, wait a minute. Last time I checked, Elon Musk hadn't robbed anybody at gunpoint to get rich. He went out and he earned it. I mean, I know Bezos isn't in that stratus of Trump supporters, but whatever you think of Bezos, he started out with a folding table in his garage and he built an empire. Mm-hmm. And he is welcome to every dime that he's earned. I was on Amazon yesterday looking for something. Honestly, What is it with the left in this country and their green envy over people who are wealthy and successful?
Now, just to play the other side of this, like I look at like a Bill Gates, right?
Yeah.
He has earned the incredible wealth that he has. I think he does some really dirty stuff. The things he's gotten into with vaccines and all sorts of stuff, I have concerns about that.
But Bernie doesn't.
That's, I guess, part of it is, yes, like, as long as it goes with their narrative, I guess he would say
they don't mind.
That's fine. Or like the George Soros, right?
Yeah.
They're fine because he contributes to these
liberal candidates, trying to disrupt democracy and capitalism. The left is fine with it. They have no problem with it. But they seem to think that what are they going to do? Strip Elon Musk of his money because they don't like how he spends it? They're still angry that he bought X, his name keeps getting thrown around for
TikTok,
but I don't think he's getting interested in buying.
So does Kevin.
It's probably a competition.
Kevin O'Leary, but I don't think that will happen either.
Hmm.
Well, it sounds like TikTok might not be banned after all because Biden's just passing the buck.
They're going to give it an extension. Yeah, they're going to give it an extension for 90 days.
Just do something. Take action. I'm kind of tired of this back and forth.
They're not going to. I don't use it, but apparently some people use it as part of their income, and they're all worried about it now. The alternatives are just as bad. We're going to hopefully talk to Lydia Hu about that from Fox Business coming up in the next hour at around 8:20 or 8:30. So stay tuned for that. All right, let's get ready for Jim Carafano. The vote is in. The secretary, I should say the Israeli Security Cabinet, has recommended approving the ceasefire. That is sort of breaking news right now. We'll get the latest from Jim Carafano when we come back.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We're talking about one app in particular that's called Red Note or also Little Red Book, and its name is inspired by Communist China's first leader, Mao Zedong. And still, we're seeing hundreds of thousands of so-called TikTok refugees are flocking to it.
You know, I was born in the South. South Bronx.
Excuse me, Jim, let me shut down my Red Note app here and we can do the interview. How are you?
No, this is going to be a problem. Red Note, well, this is another Chinese app.
Yeah.
They're tracking, saying TikTok users come here, you'll get the same thing. But you're just moving the problem. Look, we all know it's indisputable, and even Donald Trump does not dispute this, that TikTok is an American vulnerability, that it was an app that was designed by the Chinese to create a vacuum cleaner of access to our information, but also a megaphone for them to kind of shift and control messaging. And that, we've actually just seen this happen in Romania. There was a presidential election, and a virtual unknown won the election. And we know for a fact that they put their fingers on the scales to make sure that he was a dominant voice on TikTok to get exposure to people. Now, I don't think that's why he won the election. I think he won the election because people are really annoyed at the major political parties who have failed to deliver for Romanians.
Yes.
But the reality was the Chinese deliberately meddled here. And so I think people should not be stupid. I personally think in the end TikTok's going to be banned or sold. But the Chinese do this all the time. They try something, and if it doesn't work, they just repackage it and try again.
Suckers are born every day, right?
Look, here's the number one thing about being a parent in America today. You cannot take care of your child and raise them to be a loving, caring, professional adult unless you deal with social media.
Yes.
It is an essential element of parenting as taking a kid to church.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, well, I heard too that this Red Note app is preventing anyone from posting any LGBTQ content, which is interesting too, because I'm imagining that's a big part of people who post on TikTok. And in many of these cases, they're making millions of dollars off their posts on TikTok.
Well, this is the nonsense look, of the whole LGBT. You know, I remember years ago people said, well, do you think gay people should be in the military? And I used to laugh and say, because, you know, I was in the military for 25 years. Do you think, like, there have been gay people in the military since, you know, I'm sure somebody that rode George Washington across the Delaware was gay. the issue is about creating a political agenda. And what's happened is LGBT has become a political agenda that's largely become divorced from the interests and the needs of the LGBTQ community. Like civil rights is not about creating a industry to mutilate children or going in the streets and marching in the name of Islamist terrorists who would hang gay people if they showed up on their street. And this is just another example of that, or how I think the whole community has just gone brain dead because they've basically become a tool of this radical extremist leftist agenda in America.
So I'm laughing right now because while you were answering that, I typed in Red Note on my app store search here.
Yeah.
The app is in Mandarin Chinese. Like, it doesn't even say Red Note on it. It's literally in Chinese characters.
Yeah. And we, you know, where else we've seen this? You know, you remember these Confucius Institutes?
Yes.
The Chinese came in and said, oh, let us give you a ton of money to let us teach students Chinese.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's like Hannibal Lecter coming in and said, let me set up a free cooking class.
Oh, my gosh. Gross.
And when we started banning these Confucius Institutes, all the Chinese did was go back and rename these programs and try to sell them another way. Same thing with this thing, this Thousand Talents Project, where it's, oh, we are lovely Chinese people. Let us give you a scholarship. Let us support your work as a research professor. And it was about essentially, you know, penetrating American academia. And wow, when we got onto that, they just renamed the program something else.
Mm-hmm. Jim, I got to ask, I read where the Israeli security cabinet has recommended approving the ceasefire deal. Is this a good deal for Israel? I mean, that's a lot of criminals they've got to let go in return for these hostages.
Look, I'm relatively agnostic about this. The future security of Israel is not going to be decided by the ceasefire. Just like if there's a ceasefire in Ukraine, that doesn't define the future. It's what's done the day after that really matters. So we could all sit around, and everybody has their idea of what the perfect deal is. This is kind of the human rule of law. Future wars are not decided by how the past war ends. They're decided by what's done the day after the war ends.
Yes.
So,
do you actually think, though, that both sides, in particular Hamas, will agree to this and actually, they have agreed to it, but I mean stick to it?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, not holding my breath. And is this a result of the Trump effect?
I think it gets the hostage issue off the table. I have to be honest with you. I didn't think there were more than 20 hostages alive, so we'll see. It gets the hostages off the table, gets us to January 20th, and then we start the next chapter. And the future of Israel is going to its security and its role in the region is going to not be defined by this deal, but be defined by what the U.S. and Israel do in partnership on January 21st. And more in particular, the number one thing that's going to decide the future of freedom and stability and prosperity in the Middle East is going to be the U.S. policy towards Iran.
Oh, I know. But
mic drop, end of statement. Mm-hmm. We're done here.
For all the time you and I have talked about this and all the times we've heard people say we don't negotiate with terrorists, what one truth has to be is that the Hamas can never give up the last hostage, or at least the belief that it still has a hostage, because the minute they do, they have no more leverage, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, they're actually at the point where they really, really have no more leverage. And this thing of, you know, exchanging people for hostages, I mean, this is the Israelis have always done this. This has always been in the Israeli playbook. And, you know, it's like, you know, I used to have this thing that when I was in the Army, right, and we would have these dirt bags, and then they'd come up for a court-martial, and if I didn't have a rock-solid case, I would say, let them go. No problem. Because you know what? If they're really dirt bags, they'll do this again. I'll get them next time. And that is actually the Israeli attitude towards this. In the end, if we have to let a criminal go, fine. They're still a criminal. We'll kill them next time.
And they will. That's for sure. We know that about the IDF 100%. Jim, thank you. As always, we appreciate it. And maybe I'll run into you in D.C. on Monday.
That would only be possible if you were in North Macedonia, which is
well, that's where he's going, actually.
I'm going to North Macedonia. Yeah. I didn't mention that. Come on.
He's stopping by there on his way to D.C.
I'll see you in Skopje. Well, have fun in Washington.
Thank you, my friend. Safe travels.
You bet.
We'll talk to you soon. Jim Carafano there, Heritage Foundation national security expert. Great to get his take on what's going on in real time here, for sure. Coming up, why is Suffolk County being sued for assisting ICE? We're going to talk it over with a retired ICE special agent.
I'm not here to do nothing bad. I'm here to work.
Meet Louise. He lives in St. Louis and works as a landscaper.
For me, it's like a career. I like it.
He tells me he provides for his wife and four kids. They are part of an estimated 50,000 unauthorized immigrant population calling Missouri home.
We know like some bad and good people. And I feel I'm in the side of the good people.
Yeah, that story done by Channel 4 here locally. They've got a whole series of reports they're doing on the local immigration issue. They're calling it Beyond the Border. Most of it seems to be focused on softening people's views on illegal aliens, because they don't call them illegal aliens. They call them unauthorized immigrants. That kind of tells you where they're going with it. But they're trying to prepare people, I think, for what might start happening on Monday at around noon. So we've got Victor Avila on the phone with us right now. He's a retired ICE supervisory special agent. And Victor, welcome to the show, and thank you for your service.
Thank you. Great to be on with you today.
Absolutely. So just out of interest, the reason that we asked you to join us this morning was to talk about a lawsuit. The federal government has sued Suffolk County, claiming they owe $60 million in damages, and this is all relating to assisting ICE. Is that correct?
That's right. This case seems to be kind of upside down and backwards, kind of the epitome of what we lived in under the last 4 years, where the Suffolk County government doesn't want to house the illegal aliens that have been arrested and charged with a crime, mostly a state crime. And this happens, by the way, across the country, where the federal government, you know, is reimbursing a lot of these county jails where they do house federal inmates. And we're talking about illegal aliens. And so there's this money issue that the Suffolk County seems to be on the other side, which we find ourselves with a lot of these jurisdictions, these sanctuary cities and states, in some cases where they seem to side with them, the people that are here illegally, and not with the public and the taxpayer. Because I believe that people that we're spending a lot of money with all this, but I think that the way the response happened on November 5th with the voter is we're okay with spending money with when it's spent on enforcement of the law, right, and removing the illegal aliens. I think we're okay with that, and that's what this is about.
Well, again, I think people are going to be in for a rude awakening. Tom Homan continues to impress me with every interview I see him in. Now, did you work under him when you were with ICE?
Yes, and Tom Homan is a personal friend of mine. I know Tom well, and you're right. He's ready, and I do agree with you that about what you mentioned about softening the American public. They are going to pull at the heartstrings of American people. Just wait for the first images to come out of that first quote unquote family separation, and you're going to see those videos, and this is where we have to say, listen. If you're a good person and you're not a criminal per se, all you did was break the law to come into this country, then come back and do it legally, and maybe there will be a path for you to do it that way. But for now, we have to take the country back and place law and order as a priority to send a signal to that illegal alien and to a lot of people around the world and other countries that you will respect our sovereignty and you will respect our Constitution and our law and order, which hasn't been in the last several years.
Well, thank you for pointing that out. We're talking Victor Avila. He's a retired ICE supervisory special agent. Now, correct me, are you currently running for office in Texas in the 23rd Congressional District?
Or is that No, I did. I did last year, and I didn't make the runoff there. But, you know, I threw my hat in there I'm trying to make a difference here. I retired from a federal service, and I obviously, like a lot of Americans, I don't agree with a lot of stuff that was happening, especially at the border. When it comes to the cartels and the fentanyl, my subject matter expertise of human trafficking, and boy, are we dealing with all that today, right? So that politics is now aside for me. I'm concentrating and hopefully being part of the solution as we get, you know, close to getting ready to actually do some enforcement right around the corner.
Yeah, well, I hope they get you involved. If you don't mind, share with people your story. You were involved in a shootout with a drug cartel, and you were injured during that, correct?
That's right. Back in 2011, when I served in Mexico, Special Agents Jaime Zapata and I were ambushed by Los Zetas cartel during an assignment on the highway freeway on the way back to Mexico City. We were shot at over 100 rounds. Agent Zapata tragically lost his life in the line of duty. A lot of people don't know that. I go around the country speaking about this story. I took 3 bullets, and I'm here by the grace of God, surviving that horrible event. And so I understand personally the imminent threat that we face from these criminal organizations, these cartels, and everything that affects us here in our country. A lot of people think, well, it's happening in Mexico, but there's a ripple effect directly, especially now, in every corner of our country, that I think people now feel the effect of it and want some kind of solution. They want some action against this.
Gosh, well, glad you're okay. That's just, it's crazy. And you think about, to your point, I mean, it's like every state's been impacted by this. You brought up fentanyl. And, you know, I am really confident that Donald Trump will make a huge impact at the border. Do you think we're going to see that as it relates to fentanyl? Because we know that's been coming across the border at alarming rates.
Absolutely. And it comes to, China, obviously, the bigger picture. China and the relationship they have in Mexico. They've been in Mexico for a long time, and the precursors and chemicals they continue to provide there. By the way, some of those chemicals are now coming in through Central America because of the attention given to China. But nevertheless, the fentanyl is still produced in Mexico, smuggled through there into our country, killing hundreds of thousands of Americans every single year. And no one seems to say or do anything about it. I know President Trump, besides stopping it at the border, I think they're going to launch an incredible federal kind of PSA, public service announcement, to bring the awareness to every child at the school level, at the university level, not to use any of these counterfeit pills. According to the DEA, 7 out of 10 pills in the black market are laced with fentanyl, and it's literally killing our youth. And so you're going to see a major, major change, especially when it comes to the trafficking, and not just fentanyl, by the way, but we have a big problem with methamphetamine and other drugs as well.
Wow. Victor Avila, our guest this morning. So you have a book out, right? Agent Under Fire. Tell us about it.
So I wrote Agent Under Fire. It's a story, you know, about me and a couple of cases. Human trafficking is really close to my heart, and that's what I rescue a lot of women and children, talk about that. But obviously, I go into detail about the ambush in Mexico. And then what I did, I wanted to really talk to people and let them know about border security. So at the end of the book, you're going to get an incredible briefing of when it comes to the wall, sanctuary cities, and all these policies that you probably have never heard about that are you're going to see some changes come next week on those with executive orders. But at least you'll get a very good understanding of what's going on.
So, Victor, I have to ask here, because I do a segment on Tuesday called 2A Tuesday, and I'm a big shooting enthusiast myself. Tell me about this. You are a lifetime member of the NRA who set the world record for the longest handgun shot.
That's right. A couple of years ago, I shot a 10-millimeter handgun using a stabilizer. It's a piece of plastic that the company is USA One Shot.
Yeah,
and shot 2,010 yards, hit a 36 by 36 inch metal plate out in Nevada. And that's incredible. It's an incredible device that I carry with me all the time. I have one in my truck, and they're trying to get in the hands of a lot of law enforcement. It really helps your handgun become very stabilized and makes you a lot more accurate.
Wow. Well, Victor, I tell you, whatever is next for you, we wish you the best of luck, and thank you for your service and dedication.
Thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Good to have you on. Victor Avila there. What a great story. Did run for Congress down in the 23rd district. Did not win in the primary down there, but maybe he'll run again, or maybe his friend Tom Homan has a position for him in his new ICE and Homeland Security position there. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, what a great guy. No doubt about it. All right, Kim, what do we got coming up on Kim on a Whim?
I've been reporting on this really tragic story that happened out in North St. Louis, and that is a woman who was attacked by dogs and died. Her husband tried to come to her rescue, and he himself was injured when the dog turned on him. Another case out of the Metro East. What is going on? Should the owners of these dogs be facing charges? Should the dogs be put down? People have a lot of opinions about this.
Yep, all that coming up for you in just a few minutes. Stay tuned.
Kim on a Whim.
This story just absolutely breaks my heart. So there's this deadly dog attack in the Walnut Park West neighborhood in North St. Louis. 62-year-old woman dies. Her 73-year-old husband was injured trying to save their own dogs and her. So this woman lets her dogs out in the backyard, and some other dogs, I guess, who live in the neighborhood somehow get under the fence and start attacking her dog. So she is trying to step in, and they turn on her. Husband hears her screaming and, you know, takes a gun out and is firing shots into the air. He should fire the shots at the dogs, but was firing.
The dogs are attached to his wife at that
point.
Well,
okay, you're right. That's a good point. He's trying to scare the dogs, but the gun jams. So then he takes a broom and he's trying to hit the dogs with the broom. Well, the dogs start attacking him. It was awful. The 9-year-old grandson apparently was somehow involved in watching all this play out. The woman ends up going to the hospital, and while she's in surgery, she dies. Gladys Anthony was her name. Just killed just days from her birthday. And then I'm Googling about this, and I see that there was another case like this where an Alton man, so this is the Metro East, died after being mauled by a dog inside his home. This just a few days ago. I've been seeing more and more cases like this where people are being attacked by dogs. Now, let me just say this. I don't have a dog, but I grew up with a dog. I had a dog several years ago. I love dogs, okay? Do not get me wrong. But I have zero patience. When dogs attack like this, the dog needs to be put down immediately. Yes. I'm sorry, but a human life matters way more than a dog's
question?
Life.
I just don't understand what the
question. Well, because
we
people
have to
are very,
investigate
yes,
and decide
that's exactly what
we're
going to
do
say.
With the dog.
Yes.
No.
Animal
can... If it was loose and came into your yard, it's in violation of the rules. If it got under your fence and came into your backyard, it's in violation of the rules. It killed somebody. All of those things are black marks against the dog.
Yes. City law does allow for dogs to be put down. They say humane euthanasia if the dog is involved in a severe attack, which in this case, yes, a woman was killed, a man was injured. All three of those dogs should be put down. This should be very black and white, in my opinion. And then the other question you have to ask is, well, should the owner face charges? I think that's very circumstantial. Was the owner reckless? You know, you have people who don't keep their dog on a leash. Now, I know there are dogs you'd say, well, they're very well trained. I get that. But if the owner's not abiding by something they should be, I would argue the owner should be facing charges in this,
well,
too.
Well, there's a very good chance as well that if a dog is that vicious, it's done it before, and the owner is probably aware of it in most cases.
And maybe he didn't do anything about it.
Maybe.
Like, you think about those cases where a dog snapped at a kid, and that dog would be out of my house so fast. I would not tolerate that, you know? And you just can't take a chance with that. Now, I understand if a kid's, like, pulling a tail, like, you got to teach the kid how to interact with a dog, too. I do understand that's at play here. But there has to be a line. And I think that people, it's like when you watch a movie and you see a horse or a dog die. And for whatever reason, so many of us, we want to feel more sad about the dog dying than we do the human that just lost their life. I think it's because they are helpless and they seem so innocent. I get that. Trust me, I'm the person who would be really emotional about, like, I don't even like Bambi, okay? It's sad when the deer dies. I get it. But we can't, Mark, you're looking at me like I'm crazy. That is sad that Bambi died.
Okay.
Can we acknowledge that?
No, it was Bambi's father who died, wasn't it?
No.
Or Bambi's mom who died.
Death. That's a sad movie.
At the end.
Yeah.
There's another one with Jennifer Aniston in it with the dog.
Marley and me.
That's a really sad movie, okay? That's a really cute dog. It's a golden retriever, I know. But
it was one of the saddest days of my life when we had to put our golden retriever to sleep.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had some aggression issues with my dog, and I ended up rehoming him because he was not good with men at all. It was getting scary. He snapped at my husband, but my then boyfriend. But human life always has to come before a dog, even though dogs are incredible. Like you said, it is dogs become a part of your family. They really are. But you still, when push comes to shove, you have to value that human life over the dog's life.
I'm with you 100% on this. I'm fascinated by the TV commercials for the bags of raw meat that you can now buy for your dog, and they like people keep it in
Farmer's
the refrigerator
dog.
And all that stuff. And the one commercial was the girls argued clearly on a date at the guy's house. He's cooking, and she asked what that is in the refrigerator, and he goes, "It's dog food." And she said, "You keep dog food in the refrigerator?" And the next scene, he's closing the door on her, and he's sitting on the ground with his dog feeding it the dog food. There are people like that. Those are the people who are going to disagree with you on this.
Well, and I agree with taking good care of your dog, but yeah, you're right. Those are the people who are going to say, "You're ridiculous." You know, I don't know. I just have such a problem with this. And there are certain breeds that I do believe are more aggressive. And that's really what ruffles some feathers. We see a lot of pit bulls involved in these. And many, like, apartment complexes will not allow you to have dogs over a certain size. Now, I know plenty of big dogs. I grew up with big dogs, and they were like giant teddy bears. So I don't know that that's the problem. I think it's more breed specific. I also know some incredibly sweet pit bulls. Oh my gosh, just the best dogs.
Yes.
But I believe, and this is my personal opinion, and I know people are probably going to disagree with this, but I do believe that they tend to be more aggressive. I would never have a pit bull. I would not.
It's a Kim.StAngeAudison.com.
Feel free to reach out to me. I'm going to protect my family.
No, listen. I've made that same argument many times. The hate mail is tremendous when you say that. The defenders will come out of the woods on them. Trust me. I agree with you. Coming up, Congressman Eric Burleson live from Washington, D.C. And then we're going to talk more about this TikTok ban at the bottom of the hour.
Get more at 971talk.com.